Hey everybody, so as we get closer to WrestleMania, now as I record this, just 3 days away for part one of WrestleMania on Saturday, April 4th. So I hope everyone's strapped in and ready for a long weekend of wrestling. This is the weekend that we live for, albeit a very different circumstance than we may have thought a month or two ago. But today, it's about looking back at a WrestleMania, looking back at one of the defining moments in WrestleMania history and in the history of WWE, and that is Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14. Mike Tyson is the special enforcer. So, as always, we got a bunch of audio from that match coming your way, my thoughts, and of course, maybe a little bit of additional WrestleMania 36 thoughts. That's all coming your way right after this. So you know that if you have a podcast, getting your name out there is the hardest part, right? You need listeners. And we all know social media is a great way to promote your podcast. So what you need is an audiogram. What exactly is an audiogram? It's basically a trailer or teaser for your podcast. And it needs to be eye-catching. It has to have listeners be engaged, grab their attention, everything that comes with it to get people to listen to your show. And that's extremely important when you're trying to get new listeners. So where do you go to get this done? There's no place better than to go to Fiverr.com/DBSound. That's Fiverr.com/D as in dog, B as in bunny, sound. So what do you get with this? It's basically a little video that you get to post on social media that is a 60-second clip. Most do 30 seconds, so this is a bargain right off the bat. And it's just a little teaser you can post to all of your followers to get them interested and engaged in listening to your show. You also get an HD quality video for this. This isn't, you know, your mom and pop shop type of quality. This is full HD quality, 1080p. It has animated captions and subtitles. And again, it's up to 60 seconds. And waveform animation. So this is a super high quality thing you want to do. It tells your listeners you're serious about your podcast. So don't mess around. If you want to tell your listeners you're serious and get more listeners for your podcast, head on over to Fiverr.com/DBSound. And once you're on his page, just look for the gig that has create an audiogram video for podcast. And again, if you're worried about quality, don't be. He has over 1,000 five-star reviews, so no need to worry about the product you're going to receive. So head on over to Fiverr.com/DBSound and click on audiogram video for podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia as we creep closer and closer to what is expected to be just a bizarre WrestleMania, but one that is going to be talked about, I'm sure, for many years to come, given the circumstances of what we're all going through. So that is a show that I'm looking forward to for just a lot of reasons that I normally am not looking forward to it. I'm like I've said this before, but I'm not looking forward to or looking for WWE to blow my socks away, but rather to see what their booking strategy is and to see exactly how they pull this off, given there's no fans. So it's going to be a weird time. It's going to be a very strange event. I think that right about now we're starting to get kind of used to the empty arena format. I don't know how they're going to do this, if they green screen something in or if they have actual maybe wrestlers sitting in the audience as AEW did. I don't know. But they need to make it feel different and make it look as big time as it can look without the lifeblood of the product there, and that are the fans. Notice I didn't say WWE Universe, right? That is a term that is just so – it's such a corporately created – infuriating term that I don't even want to get into it. But the fans aren't there. Fans aren't anywhere, right? It doesn't matter what sport that they are interested in. They are not anywhere. Their home is where they are. So WrestleMania 36, again, if you guys want to participate, and I mean that in a literal way, because if you want your voice on this show and you have a question or comment or topic maybe we didn't get to, just send me a voicemail, a voice message, a voice file to realwwepodcast@gmail.com, and we will cover it here. We will cover every single one that we get. We'll air it on the WrestleMania show. And what we're going to do, here's what the schedule is. If you guys are interested in what the upcoming deal is with this show for WrestleMania coverage, obviously, I will be tweeting throughout the entire show, both Saturday and Sunday, so we'll be able to interact real time. And also, we will be doing a two-part coverage of WrestleMania. Since WrestleMania is two nights, we are going to follow suit. That means for Saturday's part one of WrestleMania, we're going to be recording early Sunday morning. And I have a couple of co-hosts lined up for part one in Ashley and Michael. So Ashley Mann and Michael Gross are going to be joining me Sunday morning at 9:30, bless their hearts, and we'll be covering WrestleMania part one. WrestleMania part two, since WrestleMania is going to be Sunday, we'll be doing a Monday review show. And I have Mary Grader and another co-host to be determined. I'm still working on that. I believe I'll be able to lock somebody down shortly. So that'll be a part two. And then Tuesday will be your Raw review. And then Wednesday's Nostalgia and Thursday, Friday. I mean, like I said last night, this is going to be a jam-packed week of audio. You guys will be sick of seeing notifications that this show has a new episode. You'll be tired of seeing my tweets that I have a brand new show being released. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you enjoy the long form audio, because you're going to get it. This is going to be a jam-packed week, as it should be, and as most podcasts are probably scrambling to line up their shows as well. So I'm looking forward to this. This is the weekend that, despite all of the nonsense going on, and as bizarre as it may be to watch nobody react to what's going on, it's still going to be a shared experience on Twitter or any other social media platform. We can enjoy it there for now. It seems as if this is going to go on for quite some time. You know, our governor does daily updates on the virus, and he doesn't think that we're going to peak until April 30th or May 1st. That's the tentative projected date. At which point, then we will supposedly decrease in the amount of cases and hopefully head in the right direction. So with all that said, we could be in for a couple of months of this type of format. And as I said, my biggest concern, if you're interested in original content from WWE, where are they going after Mania? I know that, and I've heard that they have taped the Monday Night Raw after, and potentially the Friday Night SmackDown after. But after that, if the Performance Center is shut down, where are they going? I mean, AEW is finding places, but will WWE? I would think they would. It seems as if this whole deal about the show must go on is ingrained in Vince McMahon's blood. So, and by the way, happy April 1st. Happy April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. I said to somebody today that I wish this coronavirus was just one big elaborate hoax, right? One big elaborate April Fool's joke, but it's not. It's just here, and I don't foresee it leaving in the next couple of days. It's probably here for a couple of months. But if that's the case, then we'll still get a good chunk of summer to enjoy. So, all right. Well, we're not here to talk about the virus. We're here to talk about wrestling, right? You were here to talk about the wrestling nostalgia, which is today's topic of discussion. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 14. These are some of the earliest memories for me. And for those of you that don't like my personal stories, you may want to plug your ears, give me a bad rating, or skip ahead, right? It's not so much a personal story about my life outside of wrestling. It's a story about my life, or my just my mentality, or my first early memories of wrestling in my personal life. So I guess maybe it's a happy medium for those that have no interest in hearing about anything beyond wrestling. But it was 1998, March of 1998. So think back to where you were. See? Think about yourself. People love talking and thinking about themselves. For those of you that have no interest in mine, which is fine. I mean, I get it. You're here to talk about and think about wrestling. But 1998, some of you probably weren't even born. Yeah. So some of you probably weren't even a glimmer in your mother's eye. While others may have been where I was 13 years old in 1998, watching Stone Cold Steve Austin for the very first time compete at a WrestleMania. And yes, I missed WrestleMania 13. I didn't see WrestleMania 13 with Bret Hart and the double turn, the brilliant double turn. I didn't hear or know about that for quite some time. I saw the images of it, but I didn't quite get it at 13 years old. I was still pretty new to the product and still trying to figure things out. enjoying it, obviously, given that it's the golden era that we all look at now of WWE and the Attitude Era that we all love and know. But at 13, seeing Shawn Michaels, not knowing the ins and outs of the business, I didn't know about Shawn Michaels' injury. I didn't know about the limitations that Shawn Michaels had in that match. I didn't know that he truly suffered a debilitating back injury with The Undertaker at the Royal Rumble in the casket match a couple of months before. I remember seeing footage of that where he was backdropped onto the casket, but he missed and the edge of the casket caught him in the small of the back. And I remember WWE focusing on that, and I'm thinking, oh, it's just an angle, right? And I remember after that, Kane comes out and destroys The Undertaker, puts him in a casket, and lights the casket on fire. And that was the turning point for The Undertaker and Kane, because that was when Undertaker finally decided to fight his brother. And as he put it, soothe the souls of his parents and explain to them why he had to do the one thing he said he would never do, and that is fight his brother. Which, by the way, that is one of the best told stories in WWE to date, is The Undertaker and Kane, when Kane was actually Kane back in 97, 98. So maybe sometime I'll do that storyline, which I thought was damn brilliant, and the psychology and Undertaker refusing to fight his own flesh and blood until it finally gets pushed over the edge. I mean, it's, I get chills thinking about it. It was so good. But the backstory with Shawn was his injury leading into this match. And I know that Stone Cold and Shawn have both said since that time, many times, they wish they could have a do-over on that match because of the limitations of Shawn. Austin and Michaels had many matches before that. I didn't know that at the time, of course. I didn't know. It felt to me like the first time that they were facing one another. And on the biggest stage of them all, it was the biggest match that they ever had, right? Because this was truly the anointing of Stone Cold Steve Austin. The second part of this for Shawn that he has since come to terms with or revealed is that he was not in the best headspace. And we know that after this match, we wouldn't see Shawn Michaels compete in a ring until 2002. And it felt so much longer than that. Shawn would go on to be a commissioner here and there. Would come back for a special referee role every once in a while, but never competed inside the ring until SummerSlam 2002, with Triple H being revealed as the attacker on Shawn Michaels after they feigned a DX reunion, and Michaels was basically put his head through a window in a parking lot, and they couldn't figure out who did it. Ultimately, it was Triple H, who was revealed to have been the assailant. But after this, Shawn Michaels went away. He healed his body, healed his mind, found God, as his story has been told many times. I mean, if you guys haven't read Shawn Michaels' book, Wrestling for My Life, that is a very, very good book. I would recommend it to anybody, even if you're not a wrestling fan. Very well written. It's very revealing in the darker days of Shawn, in the headspace he was in, the drugs he was using, the alcohol, the sexual relations. I mean, all of that that you don't think of Shawn now, he was the opposite. So when you take that type of lifestyle, you take an injury that almost put Shawn Michaels on the shelf and not even able to compete at WrestleMania, then you have the recipe for a subpar match. And you may say, well, why are you talking about a subpar match? Because of the magnitude of the moment. This match isn't remembered for the quality of it. It's not remembered for a five-star classic. It could have been, had Shawn been in the right headspace and physically 100%. But this match is remembered for its outcome, for its beginnings, for its trademark win of Stone Cold Steve Austin, as Jim Ross eloquently put, and we'll hear audio shortly, the Austin era has begun. And that couldn't have been more right. Now, Stone Cold, I don't even need to tell you what happened after that with his career. I mean, you talk about the highest of the high. I mean, he reached an apex in the business that no one has ever reached and hasn't reached since. And I remember the next night on Raw that Stone Cold came out. Vince McMahon extended an olive branch and said, we can do things the easy way or we can do things the hard way. And Austin chose the hard way, dropped a stunner on Vince, and that was that. And since he wanted the smoking skull, or I'm sorry, he went on to face The Rock again at Backlash. It was quite a transformation in the business at that time. It was full steam ahead into the Attitude Era, and there was no looking back. There was no looking back at that time. So, again, this match isn't remembered for the quality. We'll go through some of the steps. But it's also remembered for not just the outcome and the finish, which is really what it's also known for as the stunner, was Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson being involved in this. You have to remember, back in 1998, Mike Tyson was very relevant. Coming off of the Evander Holyfield, the biting of the ear, that whole thing, that was a huge, huge get for WWE. And it was revealed later that Bischoff, when he found out about WWE getting Tyson, he said to himself while he was running WCW, oh no, he knew that would create a huge buzz. He knew that that actually was a needle mover in the Monday Night Wars. So this was a huge get, and they positioned Tyson. The first viewing they got of Tyson, if you remember, I'm setting the stage here, guys. I'm going to get to the audio, I promise. If you remember the first viewing of Tyson on a WWE television on your screen at home was him at the Royal Rumble as a Stone Cold fan cheering for Austin. And with Stone Cold winning that night, Tyson was ecstatic, right? They had him cheering like he was a 10-year-old kid in the audience. And it was a little weird. I remember it was a little weird. And then they end up introducing Tyson. Vince McMahon ends up introducing Mike Tyson. And Austin comes out and comes face-to-face with Mike Tyson. Well, I can't not talk about it without hearing it, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing too. But let's hear a little bit of that audio between Austin and Tyson to build that tension, the potential fight with Austin and Tyson that was teased, never delivered, but it was teased. So, well, let's take a listen.
I respect what you've done, Mike, but you're out here calling yourself the baddest man on the planet. Right now, you got your little beady eyes locked on the eyes of the world's toughest son of a bitch. I could beat you any day of the week, twice on Sunday. Do I think you could beat my ass? Hell no. Do I think I could beat your ass? Why, hell yeah. I don't know how good your hearing is, but if you don't understand what I'm saying, I always got a little bit of sign language. So here's to you.
Whoa! Whoa! Here we go! Here we go! Tyson and Austin! Tyson and Austin! All hell is broken loose! But it has hit the fan! My God! My God! Austin and Tyson have hooked it up! But Tyson and Stone Cold Steve Austin! I told you it was going to happen! I knew it would happen!
Oh, yeah. You guys remember that, right? I mean, it's just, it's magic. It's gold, right? I remember watching that thinking, like, this is something big. Even as a 13-year-old, I knew that was something big happening. That was a game changer. And it was. It certainly was. Even though it went on to the storyline evolved to have Mike Tyson be revealed as a member of D-Generation X, and that it was going to be an uphill battle for Austin at WrestleMania. Ultimately, well, we all know what happened with Tyson and what he did to Shawn Michaels at Mania, so we'll get to that too tonight. But this was a huge moment, so let's drive right into the match now, because we finally get to this match, and we didn't see Austin and Michaels really hook up prior to this. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with the injury that Shawn Michaels was nursing, trying to get better and make sure he can at least semi-compete at Mania. And he didn't even make the pay-per-view before Mania. I believe it was D-Generation X that was the name of the pay-per-view. And it was supposed to be in a tag match. Michaels was supposed to be part of the DX team versus Billy Gunn and Stone Cold and Road Dogg. I believe it was a 6-man tag, and Michaels didn't show, so they substituted someone for him. And I know that that wasn't a scheduled deduction from the match. I mean, it clearly showed the state of pain that Shawn Michaels was in, but they didn't hook up a whole lot. And Michaels did hit Sweet Chin Music once or twice on Austin prior to WrestleMania. We never saw Austin hit the stunner until WrestleMania. So that was a nice build in and of itself. A lot of it was good. And I know the public workout, if you guys remember the public workout that they framed it as in Boston the day before, or may have been 2 days before, where Tyson was in the ring with D-Generation X, and they were, I don't know, talking trash about Austin. Austin shows up and ends up clearing the ring, but Tyson was in there, and Michaels and Triple H end up getting the better of Austin, tying him up in the ropes, where we have Tyson feigning he was going to punch Austin in the face and just kisses him on the head. And if you guys haven't seen that, it's kind of a weird segment. It made me feel a little weird that Tyson would just kiss his head. I don't know. It was kind of weird. But so it was a very, very cool time. I mean, you have the biggest boxer in the history of the world. And yes, I still believe Tyson is bigger than Tyson Fury, for God's sakes, bigger than Floyd Money Mayweather. Name it, Manny Pacquiao, it doesn't matter. Tyson is still the man when it comes to boxing. And don't give me George Foreman, okay? We're talking about the best of the best, and this guy was bigger than boxing. Austin was bigger than wrestling. So this was a match made in heaven, and we were teased with them fighting, never got it. I don't think Tyson would have done well in WWE. I think that he was not in a good headspace either, as you know, he was not exactly the most mentally stable individual in the world. I'll just put it like that. So we're in the match. We're in Boston. It's March of 1998. The crowd is just waiting for the moment. I think this was a foregone conclusion. Austin was going to win, but that's okay. That's okay. That we knew he was going to win, because when it's the right time, when it's the right thing to do, it's good. The fans are dying to see how we get there. And so let's get into the match. But before we do, we're going to take one quick break, and then we will get into the audio of the match.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
So you know that if you have a podcast, getting your name out there is the hardest part, right? You need listeners. And we all know social media is a great way to promote your podcast. So what you need is an audiogram. What exactly is an audiogram? It's basically a trailer or teaser for your podcast. And it needs to be eye-catching. It has to have listeners be engaged, grab their attention, everything that comes with it to get people to listen to your show. And that's extremely important when you're trying to get new listeners. So where do you go to get this done? There's no place better than to go to Fiverr.com/DBSound. That's Fiverr.com/D as in dog, B as in bunny, sound. So what do you get with this? It's basically a little video that you get to post on social media that is 60-second clip. Most do 30 seconds, so this is a bargain right off the bat. And it's just a little teaser you can post to all of your followers to get them interested and engaged in listening to your show. You also get an HD quality video for this. This isn't, you know, your mom and pop shop type of quality. This is full HD quality, 1080p. It has animated captions and subtitles. And again, it's up to 60 seconds and waveform animation. So this is a super high quality thing you want to do. It tells your listeners you're serious about your podcast. So don't mess around. If you want to tell your listeners you're serious and get more listeners for your podcast, head on over to fiverr.com/dbsound. And once you're on his page, just look for the gig that has create an audiogram video for podcast. And again, if you're worried about quality, don't be. He has over 1,000 five-star reviews, so no need to worry about the product you're going to receive. So head on over to fiverr.com/dbsound and click on audiogram video for podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Alrighty guys, let's jump into the audio of this match. So what I'm going to do is segment this a little bit, give you a minute here and there, and obviously we'll get to the finish. It's the best part of the whole damn thing. So right now we're going to talk or listen to Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, best announced team of all time. I know it's kind of a cliche because it's just science that they are. So let's listen to the beginning of this match, and I'll pause it where need be, and we'll talk.
Champion. I just don't think he can do it.
Nobody has ever, ever outperformed Shawn Michaels in a big match situation. And folks, it don't get no bigger than this. This is what our business is all about. It's about earning the opportunity to wrestle in the main event at a WrestleMania.
Look at Shawn Michaels. He is so full of himself.
He's got great confidence, and rightfully so.
He got Mike Tyson.
Michaels with all the charisma, all the sizzle. Wow, sticks that left hand right in the face of Stone Cold. Maybe getting some pointers from Iron Mike Tyson, who's standing right in front of us here.
Throw that little jab. Man!
Michaels beating Austin to the punch with a stinging left jab. Michaels will not win the match with a left. He won't win the match with a right.
You don't know.
Well, he may win it with a sweet chin music. And look at Michaels distance himself here. Michaels outmaneuvering Stone Cold Steve Austin in the early going. Austin cannot connect with those.
Oh, no!
Stone Cold slowing it down here. Getting intense. And Michaels face first into the turnbuckle.
So what you guys can't see, unless you're following along with me in the match, is Michaels acting like a complete chicken, you know what, heel. What I mean by that is when you hear those punches being delivered, it's almost as if they're cheap shots and what a coward would do in a fight. And he's hitting and backing away, hitting and backing away. And Austin eventually chases him out of the ring and catches up to him and finally gets at least an offensive move on Austin. It was a sledgehammer. A sledgehammer to the head. And I mean, not an actual sledgehammer, but when you put your fists together and you whack a guy over the head, that's what Austin's offensive move was there. So it was right off the bat. That you don't even see that, right? I don't see that today. I know it's such a small thing and it's just the first couple minutes of the match. I get that. But how often today do we see a match start off different from the other? And I'm not saying that every match has to always be different. You're going to have similarities and certain matches start the same as others. But in the NXT farm system that is now being utilized and is its own legitimate third brand, and they've done a damn brilliant job. Paul Levesque, Triple H has done just an absolutely amazing job with NXT. Credit goes to him. Obviously, he didn't do it alone. But NXT in and of its own right has done very well, very well. And I think it will be continuing to do very well despite AEW weekly basis beating AEW in the ratings. I don't think WWE really needs to worry about that at this time. But my point is that NXT is a breeding ground. It's a feeding ground. It's a training ground for new talent. And with that being said, if it's the same place guys are training, then you have the same style coming out of it more or less. And that means most of the time, matches starting the same. You see a lot of the same moves. You're seeing a lot of similarities between matches in WWE because it's all under this WWE style, and I say it in air quotes. And back then, they didn't have that. They had, you know, while territories were dissolved, you still had independent scene. You still had WCW alive and well. So there were places to go, and they didn't have NXT, right? There was FCW, which would become, and then OVW, right? Ohio Valley Wrestling. There were places to go and train that were different. So styles were different. And in today's world, I mean, how many times, is there a quota that WWE has to meet on suicide dives in a match or per show? I don't need to see 400 suicide dives every single show. It's become as common as a punch or a clothesline. Diving to the outside of the ring means nothing now. Nothing. And you see Sean and Austin, they didn't do any of that. And yet they can still put on an amazing match. Michaels, Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. Did we see that style of competition? No, we didn't. And speaking of, just one quick note, and I'll get back to the match. I promise I'm staying on track. We'll get to the next audio bit. Montez Ford and his bump on Monday Night Raw. What the hell? Oh my God. I believe that Austin Theory was supposed to catch him. He replaced Andrade in the tag team match on Raw. I believe Montez Ford, really it was, it was his fault. He flew over the top rope. If you haven't seen it, good Lord, go see it, but you'll cringe. Flew over the top rope, had no break on his landing whatsoever, and slammed half on the ramp, half on the padding. I mean, it was a flat back bump from about 10 feet in the air. What? See, this is the kind of... Why? Why do that? What did you gain from that? I don't know. And from what I understand, I mean, there's rumors floating around that Montez Ford actually broke his back. I don't know the extent of it. I would assume at the minimum, he is banged up, bruised up, and feeling like he got run over by a truck. But at the worst, maybe he does have some broken bones. I mean, there was no break to that fall. None. So, anyway, let's get back to that match. And we'll get you close to halfway in the match. And then we'll pick it up and keep going. So we'll pause it there. I mean, kind of a slower point of the match, but an important point, because if you watch this match, you can visibly see Michaels is in pain. And I don't mean a pain that's like, that's a selling pain. that, hey, this match has taken a lot out of me. You know, I hope you're believing what we're doing. It's a legitimate grimace on the face of Michaels. Every move he does is it's almost as if every time he bends his back in any way, it's just excruciating pain. And I didn't notice it until I watched this match back, that this is indeed a very painful match for Michaels, and one that I don't think would have happened in today's very, very medically aware and talent-focused type of environment WWE has cultivated with their wellness policy and the medical staff they have on and the focus that they have and the care that they have for the performers on a much higher level than they ever did. And in 98, it wasn't, while they definitely were, they had doctors on staff, there wasn't a wellness policy in place. You know, if guys were hurt, you just still kind of worked through it. And boy, when you see this, it's hard to watch because it's clear. It's very clear that he's in pain. So you have Tyson on the outside, and he's still trying to help Sean and trash-talking Austin as he's wearing a Suck It t-shirt. So that was something interesting. Michaels then goes to the ground game, tries a figure four, and, well, the match starts to speed up a little. So let's listen in, and we're getting close to the end here. Austin picks up the pace here. The referee goes out, which means Tyson seems to be the one in charge. It was interesting that he was never actually a WWE official in this match. He was an enforcer. And you could look at that as one of two ways. That, you know, you might say, well, why didn't they just make Mike Tyson the special guest referee? Why didn't they just do that? And it's either one of two things. Either A, they were trying to protect the solidarity of a WWE official, meaning they didn't want this championship win to be skewed by Mike Tyson being a biased referee. And the fact that not anybody can just be a referee, right? And there's still some kind of respect for the referee where, you know, you had to actually be an official. So being an enforcer is kind of like being the bouncer at the club. And, you know, Mike Tyson, once the referee went out, he became kind of the law, so to speak. And you were worried, hey, what's going to happen here? Triple H and China were ejected earlier in the match. So you have Mike Tyson really as the sole enforcer, the sole law enforcement agent, so to speak, for this match. And Austin starts to pick it up. You can tell Michaels is just in absolute pain, but, well, here he goes delivering his patented elbow.
But he's going to climb the ladder. Michaels now. He's going to polish him off. Here we go. Michaels measuring Stone Cold. And the elbow. Right into the heart of the rattlesnake. Michaels may be tuning up the band.
So he'll tune up the band in a minute, but so you can just, again, you can see it on his face. He looks stiff in the back. There's something not right. And again, watching this live, I had no idea. Did anybody live watching this know? I mean, it wasn't in 1998. You have to remember too, social media didn't exist, which I think is a good thing for protecting kayfabe, because it's completely destroyed today. I mean, even Undertaker isn't immune to the really the bait of social media and completely killing your character, as he's become the Tiger King, as we've all seen. So this is 1998. Dial-up internet was still a thing. You know, we were still in AOL chat rooms. AIM had just come out. So this was a time that, you know, information didn't flow as quickly and freely and sometimes too quickly around the internet, around and with people. It still took some time. So again, we didn't have smartphones. We had flip phones at best. At best, flip phones were just starting to come out, or you had the car phone. Remember the phone you'd keep in the bag in the car, and it would be like $60 a minute? You could plug it into the cigarette charger. Anybody remember that thing? Oh, I remember it. So you got to remember the time we're in terms of people not knowing what's really happening in wrestling. You had you still had your big name websites. We all know who those are. They still existed, and they're still around today and doing well, very well, as they are. I mean, they've capitalized very, very nicely in the podcast world. But those were the websites that you had to rely on to get your information. So I didn't know at the time, and I was big into the dirt sheets, or as Roman Reigns would like to call it. And I was, but that's, why wouldn't you be? Who doesn't love a good rumor? I mean, seriously, who doesn't still love a good rumor? I know I do. I know I do. So it was a time, again, my point is that wrestling was still a little bit more protected back then. The rumors and things that floated around were only on the websites, or maybe you could hear them in chat rooms or things like that. But it was not today's version of sharing information so quickly, so easily, with the flip of a finger anywhere you go. You don't have to have an internet connection. You could be anywhere in the world as long as there's a cell connection with data. I mean, so that's the area we're in that still protected the business a little bit. But all right, let's get to the finish of this match as Shawn Michaels tries to tune up the band.
For some sweet chin music, King, he brought his own band. Yes! Michaels, getting that ready. He's put everybody down with sweet chin music. And he has put Austin down before as well, as we know. Austin, back up somehow. Uh-oh, Austin ducked it. Austin going for the stunner, and Michaels counter. Michaels going for another chip. Austin, he got it! The stunner! Mike Tyson in! Austin is the champion! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Wait a minute! Tyson and double cross the end!
So we get the famous call by Jim Ross that we all remember. The Austin era has begun. God, that man has so many just lines that are tied to my childhood, doesn't he? But you have Tyson in the ring. The only thing that I didn't like about this match, I mean, I'm not even going to touch the quality of the match. It was good. I mean, I think it was like a 3 out of 5 star match, maybe 3.5. But you had Michaels obviously debilitated. That severely hurt the quote quality of the match that everyone thinks they're deserving of a 5-star match. Not every match is going to be 5-star. And but beyond that, wrestlers shouldn't even be concerned with the quality of match they had, much less winning. That should be their goal. And that's why Dolph Ziggler, I know I'm getting way off topic. See what my brain does? But Dolph Ziggler is so worried about stealing the show. And what, sometimes Sasha Banks talks about making history and we tear the house down. No. You're here to win championships. I want you to tell me about winning. The match will speak for itself. And if it's a 5-star match and it happens to be a 5-star match, then kudos to that. And it's a bonus. But to me, it should be about characters caring about winning. Because that's what you're here for, not about making history or stealing the show. Stop it. That's the ancillary benefit of the wrestling that you're doing, the performance you're doing. So, but beyond that, beyond the Michaels injury, which debilitated the real or limited Michaels' ability in the ring that night, was Mike Tyson's fast count of Michaels. I didn't like that. It was too quick. I think Mike got a little bit amped up, or he was never told to, do 1, 2, 3 instead of 1, 2, 3, which is about half of the time that an actual 3 seconds would be. So that's the only part. It still kind of irks me to this day, because what if it was a normal 3 count? Would Michaels have kicked out? We all know the answer to that is no, but the point remains that Tyson was a little bit quick on the count. Does anybody else get bothered by that? Because you may say, it's just, who cares? But it's WrestleMania. It is the biggest star you have in the company, with the biggest star in boxing ever. And you have the championship around the waist of your most successful champion ever, in Shawn Michaels, handing it to the next generation of Austin. And you have a fast count on the decision? I didn't like it. Still don't like it. But it was a moment. And we had Tyson hold up the Austin 316 shirt. And we had Jerry Lawler talk about how this was a double turn on the D-Generation X. And then, well, we got actually some physicality by Tyson. Let's take a listen. So Austin and Tyson end up walking with each other to the back, and he's holding up his shirt, and then they drape the Austin 316 shirt on Michael's face, and it was a moment. I mean, looking back, I wish Austin had dropped a stunner on Tyson, just because of how big I think that would have been. Not that I want to see a Tyson Austin program, because I think that would not work. Even at that time, it would not have worked. But just to have that singular moment of Austin dropping Tyson for everything that he did do. And, it was never explained if Austin knew Tyson was going to turn on DX, or if Tyson just decided in the moment to do it. That was never explained. I mean, I don't think it needs to be, because it was just kind of a one-off with Tyson. But I would have loved to have seen Tyson take the stunner. I mean, it's a pretty relatively easy move to take, unless you're, Linda McMahon. God almighty, if you've ever seen that stunner, I'll be honest, I don't know if you want to see that stunner. on Linda McMahon. Why? Because it is the worst stunner in the history of stunners. And there are some bad ones. Donald Trump did not take a good stunner. Okay? There were some referees that did not take good stunners. Okay? There were, you know, Sergeant Slaughter wasn't the best either. Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson at times were hit and miss. Hell, Vince McMahon couldn't take a stunner at times. And you just never knew which way he was going to flop. But the all-time king, or in this case, queen of bad stunners is Linda McMahon. Just search on YouTube, Stunner on Linda McMahon. It happened at the 2005 USA Homecoming when Austin stunned all the McMahon family members. He stunned Vince, then he stunned Shane, then he stunned Stephanie, who takes a good stunner in her own right. So props to Steph on that at least. And then Linda comes out and she gets dropped with a stunner that was, jeez, I think she just got nervous at the end that, you know, he was actually going to break her neck or something. So she did not take a good stunner. It was rough. So careful when you YouTube that one. And we all know Donald Trump. I think it was WrestleMania 22 that he ended up taking the stunner in the hair versus hair match. I think it was 22, might've been 23. But I don't know. That's just a little bit of a history type revision or revisionist history. There is the phrase I was looking for that I would have done in the moment. Watching that back was have Austin take a stunner. The crowd would have lost their minds, but it was a good moment. It was a historic moment, a business changing, needle moving moment. It doesn't get bigger than that. Anointing your biggest star with the biggest belt when, you know, finishers meant something. If you noticed, Michaels didn't kick out of the stunner. That's important because this is an era in which finishers were still protected. You know, beyond Tyson's three count, that was a little fast. We know that. But he wouldn't have kicked out anyway, even if Tyson had counted it in a regular pace. But the fact is, at WrestleMania, that finisher was even protected. That tells you something. Because you knew when Austin hit the stunner, it was over. When Michaels hit the Sweet Chin Music, it was over. Michaels never hit Sweet Chin Music in that match. Not once. Not once. And today, it's heavily reliant upon the athleticism and the athletic portion of pro wrestling. Rather than story, it's so heavily reliant on wrestling rather than, hey, let's come up with a killer story with, you know, big stars and an emotional roller coaster. Instead, it's, well, who's good, you know, in the ring together? Let's put them together. They'll tell their own story. Well, that's true to an extent, but oftentimes it's too fast in the ring. Everyone's got the same idea with the suicide dives and the moonsaults and everything else. Rather than, damn it, telling a good story and protecting finishers, and instead of... It's overused today of a tactic to kick out of a finisher for the absence of drama in a match, or to use it as drama in a match is kick out of a finisher. I mean, does anybody believe at WrestleMania in just a few days that a finish in a WrestleMania match is going to be the absolute end of that match? I mean, you could only name maybe one or two finishers that are still fairly protected. One is the RKO, right? The RKO is pretty damn protected, I would say. I don't remember the last time somebody kicked out of an RKO. So there's that one. But I mean, I don't even know another one. I'm trying to rack my brain. Edge's spear is not very protected. Goldberg's spear is not very protected. The jackhammer is, but if it's Braun Strowman that he's going to be lifting up there, he's not doing a jackhammer. I would love to see that happen. It ain't happening. So he's going to rely on the spear there. But I don't even know. I mean, the tombstone is fairly still protected. Although we've seen many people kick out of the tombstone at Mania. Michaels, Triple H. I mean, the list goes on. So, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I know these wrestling nostalgias are really a fun way to look into the past and be able to share it with you guys. Because it is a great time, especially this time of year, to go back to another WrestleMania in a big moment in time and share it and talk about it. And I think there really is no bigger moment in in WrestleMania history than Stone Cold Steve Austin winning the championship because of the impact he had and the turning point that that signified in the business at the time. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Just don't forget, we have a crap ton. Is that a unit of measure? It really should be. A crap ton of content coming your way. The tomorrow will be the AEW and NXT on Friday. Again, NXT and AEW, I sometimes split them between Thursday, Friday so that you get a show each day, or sometimes I drop them both on Thursday. It really is up in the air, but you'll get both AEW and NXT. And then Friday is going to be probably, if I don't do an NXT, it'll be nothing, right? If I do both shows Thursday. And then Saturday, maybe a reprieve. Saturday may be a preview unless we get our SmackDown analysis in. And then Sunday is, well, Sunday's going to be your WrestleMania Part 1. Monday's your WrestleMania Part 2. And then you guys know the rest of the schedule with Raw and everything else. So we got a lot of stuff coming for you guys. If you like the show, please rate us on Apple Podcasts and give us a like. If you like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theWWEPodcast. Hope you take a moment to do that. And on Twitter, I'll be tweeting throughout the show, guys. If you want to get yourself on the show as well, hit me up at realwwepodcast@gmail.com with your audio question. Just create a voice memo and send it to me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. So you can also head to the website. You know what the website is. I don't even need to tell you. So with all that said, guys, I hope you're ready. I hope you enjoyed the show. It is WrestleMania season. A very different one, but it's still WrestleMania, so we've got that going for us. Until then, everyone, stay safe. I'll talk to you soon. So you know that if you have a podcast, getting your name out there is the hardest part, right? You need listeners. And we all know social media is a great way to promote your podcast. So what you need is an audiogram. What exactly is an audiogram? It's basically a trailer or teaser for your podcast. And it needs to be eye-catching. It has to have listeners be engaged, grab their attention, everything that comes with it to get people to listen to your show. And that's extremely important when you're trying to get new listeners. So where do you go to get this done? There's no place better than to go to fiverr.com/dbsound. That's fiverr.com/D as in dog, B as in bunny, sound. So what do you get with this? It's basically a little video that you get to post on social media that is 60-second clip. Most do 30 seconds, so this is a bargain right off the bat. And it's just a little teaser you can post to all of your followers to get them interested and engaged in listening to your show. You also get an HD quality video for this. This isn't, you know, your mom and pop shop type of quality. This is full HD quality, 1080p. It has animated captions and subtitles. And again, it's up to 60 seconds. And waveform animation. So this is a super high quality thing you want to do. It tells your listeners you're serious about your podcast. So don't mess around. If you want to tell your listeners you're serious and get more listeners for your podcast, head on over to fiverr.com/dbsound. And once you're on his page, just look for the gig that has create an audiogram video for podcast. And again, if you're worried about quality, don't be. He has over 1,000 five-star reviews, so no need to worry about the product you're going to receive. So head on over to fiverr.com/dbsound and click on audiogram video for podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.